Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time for No Sleep Teal, a program dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League surging Jacksonville Jaguars.
Division leading,
AFC South leading Jacksonville Jaguars, just like we all anticipated a couple of Sundays ago after that fourth quarter against the Houston Texans. NBD, as the kids like to say. Ev, we had the Jags being here a couple of 3 weeks later, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, that's definitely we definitely saw the beatdown on the Chargers coming.
Sure.
And then we never had a doubt about the Jaguars traveling to Nashville. You know, we weren't worried about that.
It's always been good vibes up there, you know. Yeah. Just good vibes.
Good vibes is a way to describe the energy in that stadium when I was there on Sunday.
Evan, by the way, as you see there on the show header, Evan got a W up in Nashville. He's had some tough trips up there in the past, but he and his boys made that drive up 65 from the Ham and got to enjoy that one pretty much start to finish, right?
Yeah. I mean, really, there wasn't a thing to make me worried or nervous throughout the entire game.
A field goal drive didn't have you shaking in your boots for the Titans to open the game?
No, I mean, that's the thing is, like, that's really the blemish that the defense had, right? I mean,
they dominated.
They played a perfect game pretty much. That being said, they played a perfect game against a team that, after watching them in person, I am confused at how, like, teams like the Seahawks didn't blow them out. Because that was a dejected team in a dejected environment. Like, we've been to some Jags games in some pretty rough years that, you know, the atmosphere in the crowd is
relatable.
Yeah. Pretty rough. Like, it's not even like you hear groans, just silence, you know? you could hear a pin drop in that place for the most part. Like, it was really, really rough to look at. I hate the Titans, but that even made me feel a little bit of sympathy for them because, yeah, it's just not good. That team is not very good. The Jaguars played a really clean game, which is the thing to focus on, was that they didn't, you know, have a bunch of miscues. They didn't let the Titans have a look at hope in that game, really. It feels like that score is more representative of the fact that the Titans are just not a very good football team.
No, they're not. And to your point, though, the Jags did what they needed to do. And in a lot of situations like that in the past, they haven't necessarily taken advantage of that, especially knowing what's on the horizon for this team. Starting this Sunday here in Duval with the Indianapolis Colts paying a visit, also at 8-4. But a couple of teams that I would have thought after the Houston debacle, if the teams were trending one way or the other, and I think part of this is Indianapolis's schedule has kicked in pretty good and is going to continue to kick in. I mean, when you look at the Colts, in addition to these two games, I think they've got the 49ers. I think they got the Seahawks on the road. So it's not going to get any easier for Indianapolis. But kind of joking earlier about we anticipated all this going into this matchup, we really didn't after Houston. There was doomsday talk out in full force. And now there's an excitement, a buzz again with an Indianapolis team coming in that the Jags, as we know right here in Jacksonville, have had a lot of success against.
Yeah. You know, historically speaking, it's, you know, the same deal as what we were talking about last week with, you know, whenever the Jags go up to Nashville, historically not a great vibe. When the Jags play the Colts at home, you know, even going back to the Peyton Manning days, they've had a lot of success. So it's pretty exciting. You know, there's a serious buzz right now. I feel like I'm seeing on social media, people are, you know, finally starting to talk about the Jags on the national level this season. You know, there was early chatter after that Chiefs win, but then the Jags, of course, you know, kind of went wayward for a second. But right now it's like, wow, this is a monumental home game, probably the biggest one of the season. I mean, really, if you think about it.
And that's saying something, because at the time of that Chiefs visit for Monday Night Football,
That was the biggest game, but this has, you know, very serious playoff implications, right? So, you win this one and you can, you know, continue building that momentum. I mean, maybe by the time you see the Colts again, it might be to clinch the division if things go the right way.
And we've seen the Jags in this spot going into December in the not too distant past too, not to continue to speak to some negative trends or history for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but just a couple of years ago, Jags were in this kind of spot, and then by the end of December, the season was pretty much on life support. So you don't want that to happen again. So it starts with this matchup on Sunday, Evan. That starts with Jonathan Taylor, right?
I mean, yeah, of course.
You think about what you got to do against him, the outstanding running back in that run game for the Colts. And I think it's two teams that want to do the same thing to the other team. You know, I think if you're the Colts, you want to slow down Travis Etienne, Tootin, the rest of that run game, and put it more on Trevor Lawrence in that passing game to win the game. Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones now in Indianapolis. Last couple of weeks, he hasn't been exactly prolific throwing the football, but he's done a better job than he had done the previous couple of weeks in terms of taking care of the ball. And that's kind of the theme for Trevor, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is going to be, you know, I think, you know, really all about defense. You know, it could end up being a high-scoring game, of course, but it's going to come down to who can force big plays, make a turnover or two on the quarterbacks, and then also simultaneously limit some talented running backs to at least, you know, a fraction of what they typically do. You know, the Jaguars' rush defense ranked number one in the NFL still after last weekend, but the Colts are ranked seventh. So it's not like, you know, oh, well, there's a clear, you know, dichotomy in these two teams. They both have really strong rushing defenses. And, you know, you could say that, you know, the Jaguars have done it against, you know, maybe better teams than the Colts have done so far. But at the end of the day, I don't know if the Jaguars have played against a team with a running back like Jonathan Taylor all season. So, no. Yeah, I mean, he's just a different breed right now. He's been exceptional pretty much every week, except for, you know, a couple key exceptions, like, you know, that Texans game. The Texans actually probably laid out the game plan for the Jaguars to go win this game and how to stop Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor in Jacksonville hasn't been as productive in games against the Jaguars as he has been up there in Indianapolis. I mean, he's had a couple of monster games up there, and it's shown up really in the win-loss column in this series since Jonathan Taylor's debut, I think back in 2020. So that's obviously where it starts with the Jaguars defense. And who knows, maybe both these quarterbacks and their legs could be big. Although Daniel Jones dealing with a fractured fibula.
I know that seems like way more serious injury than
that takes away part of his game. He's not a prolific runner. He's not Anthony Richardson. No one's saying that. But there have been times in the past where he's been able to make some plays with his legs. And we're seeing that with Trevor. And again, even against Tennessee, we saw the design quarterback run, which I'm a big fan of. Not a big fan of exposing him to unnecessary hits, or I don't want him taking the Jackson Dart approach to protecting himself, which is doesn't have a shelf life in the National Football League. Yes. I'm afraid Jackson Dart's going to find that out in a couple of 3 years if he doesn't kind of change his approach. But it's been beneficial to the Jags. Okay, you're going to run up, you're going to load up on ETN and Tootin and some of those things. Well, we'll get the extra blocker involved. And again, a couple times a game, you know, let Trevor do something with his legs.
Yeah, no, I think right now, you know, especially over the past 2 or 3 weeks, I think Cohen has kind of nailed down the identity of what this offense is supposed to look like. You know, the ins and outs of it, not just, okay, we're going to be run first, right? It's like, okay, well, we're going to get Trevor involved. Now that you got Brent Strange back, that goes such a long way for both just setting up, you know, having another really talented blocker, but also, I mean, it seems like over the past couple weeks, like Strange just is wide open. Like it's exciting to see. You know, of course you're anticipating a pretty talented Colts defense to you know, adjust and try and limit him. But
yeah, how about how about the tight ends in this game? Right.
Yeah. I mean dude,
Indianapolis definitely invested some capital at that position in the draft, and then Brenton Strange emerging for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been waiting on Strange to come along, but Warren has hit this NFL season like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. I mean, really one of the most impressive rookie seasons of anybody in the league. Dude is a serious problem. Mm-hmm. You know, for the Jags, we talked about issues at safety. I'm a little worried about that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to see Dewey trying to, you know, keep up with Tyler Warren and trying to, you know, high point passes and stuff. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I think at the end of the day, Danny Dimes, as good as he was to start the season, has a mistake or two in him. You got to,
and especially without real mobility, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and this pass rush for the Jags looks like it's kind of finding itself. Now the Titans are a disaster,
right?
In every area, including pass protection. The Colts a good bit better up front. The challenge is going to be, I think, a good bit better. And plus, you also have to respect Taylor first and foremost. Your priority, your to-do list is going to be such with the run that that's going to help the Colts probably in a couple of ways as far as dealing with protection. And then Trayvon Walker, you know, what's his status for this week to go along with Josh Hines-Allen? Still some things to play out there, although it sounded like Jags was some potentially good news at today's practice.
Yeah, Trayvon Walker came back, as did Parker Washington, which is exciting to see because Parker Washington's really found a groove over the past few weeks. Yeah, Trayvon getting back on the field, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, really, the Jaguars are inching towards a better bill of health than they've had really all season. You know, there's a lot of guys on the injury list right now, but a lot of them are full practice or playing, you know, or they're, you know, still on the road to recovery and they're finally getting to the end of it. So there's plenty of reason for optimism to think that, you know, you can get after Danny Dimes and also still probably, you know, prevent a couple of home run shots from Jonathan Taylor. You know, we talk about pass rush on Daniel Jones. Really, other than like a 3-week stretch, the Colts have kept him really clean this year. Mm-hmm. They allowed 7 sacks to the Falcons, 5 to the Steelers, and 3 to Tennessee in like weeks like 3 through 5, 4 through 6 or something. But other than that, I mean, they've only had one game where they allowed two sacks. So, and that was against a pretty talented Rams defense. So, I mean, getting after the quarterback, this offensive line's been really, really good at protecting him. But with that, you know, injury concern, with the lack of mobility, you like to think that, you know, at least on some blitz packages, you can get home, at least hit them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even if you're not
speed him up, even if you don't hit him, you know,
yeah, and you don't want him comfortable. You can't have him comfortable.
Force some potential takeaways that way. And conversely, this Jaguars offensive line has been through it in recent weeks. As we know, Cole Van Lannen has been just a Swiss Army knife, has done a really nice job of stepping in pretty much across the board, just about everywhere other than what, center, right? So
yeah, pretty much.
You got to give the veteran sort of sixth offensive lineman a lot of credit for what he's done to this point, but you got to be able to protect Trevor too. And, you know, obviously you'd love to be able to run the football the way Liam Cohen wants to on a weekly basis. But to your point earlier, it's a Colts run defense that can be problematic and put the Jags in a situation where Trevor, you know, again, keeping him under 30 pass attempts, that's ideal. You just don't want to get him elevated. I will say this, the comfortability, man, with Strange coming back to coincide with the Myers pickup. And if you can get Parker back on the, if you can get Parker on the field this week and what he's been for this offense and in the return game, boy, De'Ami Brown, we talked about it. I mean, is that just pretty much over at this point, you think, as long as the other guys stay healthy? Because that was a coach's decision last week, wasn't it, to have him inactive?
Yeah, that was a healthy scratch. No, I mean, really, I feel like they're just shelving De'Ami Brown in case, you know, BTJ goes
somebody
back
gets
out
hurt.
Or something like that, like just to be safe. Because at the end of the day, there's no real point in cutting him either. I mean, you already spent the money, right? So, no, it's weird. You know, I did see some rumblings of like Adam Thielen ? But I don't think that's really something the Jaguars need right now. Jacoby Myers, man, it's a revelation for Trevor, just to have a receiver that, you know, yeah, he's really good in the intermediate, but we saw it last week. We saw it the week prior. Dude's got some, you know, like big play ability too.
He had an explosive for sure after the catch.
Yeah.
And then he does what he does in the red zone, you know, with the touchdown
and
catch.
Not to mention too, you know, at the end of the day, BTJ can have the lackluster season. BTJ threw a very nice block on that run after catch by Myers. So you like
he was
seeing
engaged.
That.
Yeah, looked engaged. That's a start for BTJ.
Yeah, that's all we need. We just need you to be awake.
Some level of engagement.
Yes.
Would be nice. I'll tell you where I'm engaged right now. I'm at Party Girl in the Avondale Fairfax area of Duval, and the smells are tremendous in here. Today, the meatloaf sold out. The Ma's meatloaf with the twice baked potatoes sold out, but in that display case just over my shoulder right there, some recently displayed barbecue chicken baked potatoes with fresh cheddar on top. Man. There you get you a side of sour cream with that, with some green onions. Oof. Some great soups in there as well. Always the chicken salad is great here at Party Girl, right here at 4205 St. John's Avenue. That's where we're posted up again, where Fairfax and Avondale come together at St. John's and Herschel. If you know from back in the 90s, the Eclipse little club
right over there
where your boy used to frequent quite a bit over here in this area. Some of my old haunts, Evan, in the pre-Evan days, right here next to Party Girl. So get by and check it out if you haven't already. So, Ev, the confidence level in terms of the Jags hosting the Colts this Sunday, where you at with that?
I mean, I feel pretty good. I mean, I just, at least about our chances, you know, I don't think this is going to be easy at all. And in fact, I'm not even sure if I want to predict the Jaguars to win, but I would still put myself at like a 7.5. I think the Jaguars are going to at the very least be in this game. And, you know, I also think that while this is one that, you know, between the two matchups that the teams have left, this is the one you really just need to make sure you go in and get a W.
Gotta
win
at home.
It's not the end of the world if you don't win it. So it's just, I don't know. It's a weird one. I would say, yeah, 7.5 out of 10 on the confidence level. What about you?
I'll go 7.
Yeah.
I'll go 7. I think this team really understands who it is right now. Defense playing at a super high level, different type of challenge this week, I think, in the lines of scrimmage. That's the concern I have. Does this thing kind of get Seahawks-ish on the Jags? Feels like it could be that kind of matchup. We saw what Seattle did here in Jacksonville. But I think the Jaguar defense is going to be up to the task, as we've talked about historically against Taylor, against this Indianapolis offense here. It's been good enough. What do you got to go back? You got to go back to Andrew Luck, I think it is, in 2014.
Yeah.
And the Colts winning here in Jacksonville. That's crazy. Crazy to think about Andrew Luck just, you know, isn't playing football.
Yeah. I mean, there's a world in which Andrew Luck is the quarterback for the Colts right now. Like,
yes.
There's another universe. Like,
instead of the GM for Stanford. Yeah.
No, it's nuts. It's just, you know, one of the, you know, the Jags have basically set themselves up, good or bad, to be a bogey team for Indianapolis. And that's really, really big for this weekend. I also wanted to mention, we talked about injuries. I wanted to hit back on it. Doesn't seem like Sauce Gardner is going to play.
Pretty big
deal. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, he isn't quite been the revelation that he was a few years ago, but mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big, big deal, especially when we were just talking about Jakobi Meyers.
Yeah.
You know, you'd like to think that, you know, maybe this is one where, yeah, Trevor actually does shine a little bit. They kind of put it on his shoulders to start last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they
worked the middle of the field beautifully. That's what I like to see from any quarterback, with confidence and precision. Because a lot of bad things can happen in the middle of the field. But you didn't get that sense with him at all last week, which is a little bit unnerving in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because now we're talking about him stacking another one on top of that.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I want the Jags to keep their specialists healthy this week, you know, between Logan Cook and Mattisic. You don't want another situation where Devon Hamilton is maybe snapping.
Yeah.
And I thought at one point they might summon you down from the seat.
I was so ready. I was
going there and long snap for the Jags.
I was, you know, taping up my fingers. I had my eye black on. I was ready to
had
go.
Your hand warmers just on.
Cohen gave me the no, we're good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Inactive.
Inactive. Healthy scratch with Duami. Me and him got some hot chicken after.
Yeah. I just think, again, as we talked about earlier, whichever defense can really put it all on the opposing quarterback to go win the game, I like that team's chances. I think the Jags are going to be able to do that enough.
Yeah.
And I think Jones, with his health issues, and that makes it a little bit easier task. Cam Little's kicking the ball extremely well again, right? So yeah. I like it if it comes. I think it will come down to that type of situation.
I agree.
Quarter. I mean, a lot of NFL games do, but I think specifically this one is going to be in that sort of 20 to 17 range, 23-20, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I have. I have 27-21. So, you know, kind of a little bit more high scoring, but I think the difference maker is a couple Cam Little field goals. You know, it's interesting, though, because, you know, Cardiac Cats, right? They've been just absolutely insane all year in terms of watching them, both losses and wins. But now, you know, you're talking between the past few weeks with the Chargers and then the Titans game, they put those teams to sleep. Like, yeah. It's not like a blowout as much. It was like, you know, you almost like bored the other team into like not
methodical take aparts.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm wondering if the Jaguars can do that this weekend. If they can, then, you know, we might be, you know,
hold on. If that happens.
Well, I mean, at that point, you're a game ahead. You might even be thinking about a two seed. You might even be, you know, whatever.
Hold to the AFC Championship game, baby.
I mean, I will say, I was thinking about it yesterday. Like, you know, when the Jaguars get to the playoffs, you know, historically speaking, they don't get knocked out in the first round ever, pretty much. Like, no. There's
going
like
back
maybe
to the
two,
early days,
like know? Two or three different, like 04, I think mm-hmm. they like went and lost in a wild card.
They beat Pittsburgh, right? One year.
In 07.
We were on the family trip. Watching
yeah,
that 20, one. I remember that.
2017, past three playoff visits. 2022, you beat the Chargers
won
at home.
Pittsburgh a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. 2017 is Pittsburgh on the road. 2007 is Pittsburgh on the road. And then both in 2007 and 2017, you lost to the Patriots. Also, they beat the Bills before that Steelers game in 2017. Forgot about that. So, I mean, they're a team that even if, you know, it doesn't end up being a division title, you know, I think it's going to be interesting because I really don't think there's anyone in the AFC that they could play right now that I would be like, oh, well, you know, we got screwed on the matchup.
Whip Heroes chiming in here in the show chat. Yep. We appreciate it. As always, we're live here on Ryer on YouTube. Whip Hero says Jags need to get revenge versus the Pats and refs robbing them. There you go.
Miles Jack wasn't down.
He wasn't down. MJ was not down. He was not down.
I think after that game, I spent like 2 hours in the dark in my room.
That was
strong emotions, just pure, you know, just we almost had it
that close.
But you know, at the end of the day,
I almost went to the Super Bowl with Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Starting quarterback. How about that?
I mean, it would have been so cool. It would have been so cool.
I mean, and Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's fact. Nick Foles balled out in a Super Bowl that the Jaguars could have been in. So
Philly special Nick. Yeah.
That's the thing is like, I still think about the fact that if the Jags play that Eagles team, I don't know. I feel like the Jags are very much in that game, but
it's almost like the Pats looked past the Eagles in that Super Bowl to Cancun. You
right.
Know, like
yeah.
They're
like, well, we got this.
They're already at the parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting stars in my eyes, you know, thinking about what can be and what can,
and that be, game but. Is how the Jags eventually got Doug Peterson and Nick Foles.
Yes, it's true. That is hilarious to think about, actually, is that, yeah, that
pretty much
the butterfly effect. You never know exactly what each thing is going to lead to another. But no, you know, stars in my eyes and whatnot, thinking about what can be, but you know, they got to focus on this weekend. And I think they are. I think Cohen's the type of coach where he's not going to let them think about anything past Sunday. So
Whip Hero also chiming in with he feels like Trevor slowly becoming more consistent. He still has some knucklehead moves. However, there's been more consistent tries from him. I want to think you're right, Whip Hero. I'm going to need to see about 4 or 5 weeks of stacking. And you're right about slowly. This is a fifth-year guy, and you're still kind of waiting on it.
Still kind of patient.
I like that wording, though, there. I think you did a very diplomatic job of sort of outlining Trevor's development and, you know, where he's at this point. It's been good. I mean, maybe it is really fixing to go into full click for him, especially with this regime. I mean, there should be no misunderstanding at this point, 12 games in, about what the standard is, what the expectations are, what the job entails, what is needed of you. There shouldn't be any lost in translation issues moving forward. And you said it earlier, Evan, maybe that showed up in the form of cleaner football up in Nashville. That's where we're at with him and Liam in this situation.
Yeah. You know, I think that game is the exact type of game, you know, they need from Trevor. I mean, I wouldn't say that typically means that him throwing early like they did, but I think they just saw that the Titans secondary is weak as hell and just decided to attack it. But I mean, if you go look at, you know, what he's on pace to do this year, yeah, and compare it to that 2022 season where he started to look like, you know, the first overall pick, the prospect, mm-hmm, that he's supposed to be, he's not going to match that season as things stand. Like, mm-hmm, he's, you know, that was 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 4,100 yards. He, unless he goes for, I guess, like 300 passing yards a game the rest of the way, he's not cracking 4K yards.
Which is what you don't want him to have to do.
Yeah, you don't want him to do that. And then also, I mean, with 11 interceptions, like, yeah, he was clean last week, but the previous 4 weeks he had, mm-hmm, 6 interceptions. So, yeah. I mean, you start to, it feels like, you know, we have 1 week of Trevor playing solid ball and it's, mm-hmm, like, oh, he's getting it. And then I just don't know yet, but yeah, hey, you go out there on Sunday, you beat the Colts and he goes for, let's say, 230, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah. Then it's the Tannehill method. So
if he can do that the rest of the season, then the Jaguars will win the division and they will probably have the 2 seed. Yeah, I would love to see it happen, but that's kind of the only reason why I can't go all in on a Jaguars victory.
Yeah, and Whip also notes that Trevor has been very clutch this season. My answer to that, it would be, well, sometimes he's had to be clutch because
of his own mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, no, don't.
You know, I mean, look, it's better that he was able to come up big after those mistakes. I mean, obviously that's better than preference.
Yeah.
But some of it, you just, you know, would like to be cleaner in the lead up to being put in a position where you have to do that. But Whip's right. I mean, he has shown an ability more so probably this year to overcome a lot of that.
That's the thing, is like, I also was impressed by, you know, the last drive or two against the Cardinals, but if he doesn't have 4 turnovers before that point, then that they're just running the clock out. Like,
and you can make the argument, well, they weren't all totally on him. His Trevor's ardent supporters in this area, which there are many, very many, will be quick to point that out. And it's not inaccurate, but still, if he had 4 or 3, I think you could point to, as we have, but the positivity is there right now. And that's the best thing for this team, for this city, and for its chances, beginning with the Indianapolis Colts paying a visit to Everbank Stadium on Sunday. Evan, anything else before we get out of here?
Nah, that's about it. Just excited, excited to see, this matchup. It should be good.
Yeah. I think it's going to be all 60 minutes. Going to get all you want on Sunday, I think, with the Colts and the Jags. With that, for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer, thanking you once again, reminding you, Party Girl right here at 4205 St. John's Avenue. If you like baked items, bakery goods, great, great take-home meals, those type of things, we got you covered right here at Party Girl, where Fairfax and Avondale meet. Till next time. So long, everybody.